Welcome to a life-changing encounter with the Word of God, presented to you by Reverend Bright Nkrumah, the senior pastor of the Lycos International Church, Bronx North. He is an anointed pastor and teacher of the Word of God, affecting many lives. Now get ready to be transformed by this anointed message.
Father in heaven, we are grateful, we are thankful. Lord, we thank you for a time like this to come before you, oh God, to hear your word. Holy Father, we ask of your Holy Spirit to lead us and to guide us into your word. Affect our hearts, change our hearts. Let us not leave this place the same as we came. Holy Spirit, have your way amongst us. I avail myself to you as a vessel. Fill me and speak through me in Jesus' name. Amen. Clap your hands together for the Lord. And one more time, sit on top of your enemy. Wonderful. Well, the last few weeks, we were talking about some great principles. We talked about seven great principles on salvation. Seven great principles on salvation. And I want to encourage everyone to listen to these messages, especially if you miss any part of it. Listen to the messages again. I think they are very powerful, foundational messages or information that every Christian needs. And there are many people who have been Christians for many years and do not know these principles. And so I think it's a message that everyone should listen to over and over again. Hallelujah. Now, quickly, what were those seven principles? Number one, man is a spirit, he has a soul, and he lives in a body. Number two, the spirit of an unsaved man is dead and desperately wicked. The spirit of an unsaved man is dead and desperately wicked. Number three, the spirit of a saved man is righteous and truly holy. Hallelujah. When you are saved, your spirit is righteous and truly holy. Amen. The next one. After you are born again, very important, your spirit is a newborn baby and it must grow. Hallelujah. Your spirit must grow. The next one. After you are saved, your mind is still the same and it must be renewed. How many of you do get bad thoughts after you are born again? Yes, your mind is still the same. It ought to be renewed. Amen. The next one. Wow. After you are saved, your body is still the same and you must keep it under control. Constantly, the body is still the same. When you are born again, your body does not change. When you come to Christ, when you give your life to Jesus, your body does not change. The desires of the flesh do not change. They are still the same. You have the same desires. It doesn't mean that you are not a Christian. If you are having certain feelings, it does not mean that you are not a Christian, because your spirit is still living in the same body. But you have to now suppress the desires of the flesh. You see, Bishop says the body is like, or what we have to do with the body is like a ball that you put in a bucket of water. Do you understand? If you put a ball in a bucket of water and you push it down, what will happen to the ball? It will come up. It will come up. And that is how the flesh is. That is how our body is. You have to constantly keep it under water. If you leave it, it comes up. And it will shock you what the body will do. It will really disgrace you. Amen. So after you are born again, your body is still the same. The desires are the same. You have to suppress those desires. Otherwise, for instance, you will not come for a prayer meeting. You have to suppress the flesh and say, no, I'm not sleeping. 5 a.m. is a time for me to sleep. You want to sleep, but we are going. Are you listening? That is how it is. No one is special. The body is the same. We all have the same body, same desires. Hallelujah. We have the same desires. And is there another one? After you are born again, your mind is still the same with all kinds of thoughts. It's open to all kinds of thoughts. Your mind is open to all kinds of thoughts. Have you not noticed that? Even in church, your mind is still open to all kinds of thoughts. Amen. Even through the preaching, you see that certain thoughts are coming to your mind. Yeah. Sometimes we are even talking about something, but your mind is on, your mind has gone to other things. We can see in your face. Ah, why is the pastor talking like that? Your mind has gone somewhere else. You see, in church. So after you are born again, your mind is open to all kinds of thoughts. And you must renew these thoughts. You must renew the things that your mind think about. Amen. Wonderful. Well, today we want to continue with another set of principles. We are going to continue with another 7 great principles. And these are 7 great principles on spiritual growth. 7 great principles on spiritual growth. Hallelujah. 2 Peter 3 and verse 18. It says, but grow in grace. Grow in grace. We are sharing from the 7 great principles. And so if you have the book, it will help to preach the message. 2 Peter 3 and verse 18. It says, but grow in grace. You ought to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You have to grow in the knowledge. You have to grow in grace. There is room for growth after you are born again in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. So we have to grow spiritually. We have to grow spiritually. And the first principle, principle number one, is that, are you ready? After you are born again, accept that you are either a spiritual baby, a spiritual child, or a spiritual adult. Hallelujah. After you are born again, you must accept that you are either of these three, a spiritual baby, or you are a spiritual child, or you are a spiritual adult. Hallelujah. And these things are in the Bible. These things are in the Bible. It's not made up. Hallelujah. I mean, the spiritual baby, spiritual child, and a spiritual adult or a mature adult. These are things in the Bible. And I want us to look at these scriptures. 1 Peter 2 and verse 2. 1 Peter 2 and verse 2. It says, as newborn babes, that means newborn babies. You know, we say babe. You see, right now your mind is going to babe. Why is pastor saying babe? Come on, babe. But it's in the Bible. Baby is not a worldly term, you know. So the Bible says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. So as a newborn babe, when you come to Christ, you are a newborn baby Christian. You are a spiritual baby. And he says you must desire the milk of God, the word of God, which is your milk now. It's a baby milk, the word of God. And when you drink that, you will grow thereby. Hallelujah. In the New Living Translation, it says, like newborn babies, just like in the flesh, like newborn babies, you must crave for pure spiritual milk so that you will grow into a full experience of salvation. So your salvation, giving your life to Christ, does not end there. It's not the end. It doesn't stop there. You have to grow by taking in spiritual milk, which is the word of God. You must crave it. It is not a time when you give your life to Christ. It's not a time that we have to call you to come. Come. You must crave it. You must have a thirst for it. That you need to grow. That your situation is dangerous. If you are a baby and we don't feed you, you are at risk of death. You will die. You have to cry for the word of God. You have to say, what is the pastor going to share this week? I can't stay home. You must yearn to come to hear the word of God. Are you listening? Yes. Otherwise, you will die. You will die as a baby out of hunger. The enemy will take you back again. You will backslide back into the world. Amen. And your Bible says that your situation will be worse when that happens to you. Because then the devil knows that if he leaves you, you can leave his kingdom. So he comes with 7 deadly wicked demons. More wicked than the one that was in you. Is somebody listening? Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 14 is what we just read at our scripture of the week. That henceforth we no more children. We be no more children. So there is a stage where you now, from a babe, you become a child. So we become children. And children are the ones that are unstable. It says they toss to and fro. We will learn more about these things as we share the word today. Are you listening? Yeah. So we can be a spiritual baby, or you can be a spiritual child. And then Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 13. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 13. It says, for everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he's an infant. You see? So there's a spiritual infant, which is a baby. And you drink milk. But the Bible is saying you can't continue to drink milk and milk. For 5 years, you are still drinking milk. If your baby is 6 years old, 7 years old, and is crying for the bottle, I don't think you'll be happy with the baby. Or wants the breast milk. You know, I mean, there are some babies, they grow to a certain stage, and they're still craving for the milk. And the mothers are even embarrassed in front of people. They hide them to give the breast milk. Someone told me that story. That the mother will cover her with the cloth. Because the person was too grown for breast milk. So you see, he says, but solid food is for the mature. solid food. There are certain words that when we preach is for mature Christians. You are a child, you can't handle it. Amen. Say solid food for the mature. So we have these three stages when we give our lives to Christ. So after you are born again, you will have either the stage of a spiritual baby, a spiritual child, or a spiritual adult with maturity. Hallelujah. So today you must accept that you are at a certain stage. You must accept that I am at this stage. Are you a spiritual baby? Are you a spiritual child? Or you feel you are a spiritual adult? You are mature. Amen. It's important that you know where you are. Amen. So that you know that you need to grow. You are expected to grow. Some people remain babies and children and never grow and never mature. Hallelujah. And Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 13, if you have the New Living Translation, look at that. Hebrews 5 and verse 13 in the New Living Translation. It says, for someone who lives on milk is still an infant. You are still an infant and doesn't know how to do what is right. That's a child. A child is an infant and doesn't know what to do, what is right. Hello? Do I have your attention? The next verse, it says, solid food is for those who are mature, who through training have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. You should know the difference between the right and the wrong. Hallelujah. After you have been coming to church for a while, you should be able to tell what is right and what is wrong through training. And then it says, verse 15, it says, so let us stop. You see, we have to come to a stage. It says, so let us stop going over the basic teachings about Christ again and again. Let us stop. We can't remain that. We have to move on. We have to advance. God is expecting that we go forward, we advance. So we come to a stage where we have to stop now teaching the basic teachings about Christ again and again. What are the basics? He says, let us go on instead and become mature in our understanding. Surely, we don't need to start again with the fundamental importance of repentance from evil deeds and placing our faith in God. It's for my baby Christians. We can't dwell on that. That repent. You fornicated last week. Come and repent. You are doing this again. Repent. We can't continue on. On and on. The lying, we have to talk about lying at this stage. That means you are not advancing. You don't see the seriousness. That is what it means. You don't know the consequences of sin. You don't know it. You don't know the consequence of stealing, the consequence of curses. You don't know. So we have to continue teaching it, teaching it. It says we have to move on. We have to stop these fundamentals. And then verse 1, I mean, it says, let us stop going over the basic teachings. Let us stop. That means that when you give your life to Christ, you are expected to grow. We are expected to grow. It is now, as you are born again, we have to continue to encourage you, come. We have to remind you, do your quiet time, read the Bible. We have to remind you, but we will do this to a certain stage. And then on, you are expected to grow. Just as a baby is born. He says, like newborn babes. Hallelujah. Everyone understand that first principle. The second principle, are you ready? I'm giving you a few principles and then we'll close. He says, after you are born again, you become a spiritual baby and are dominated by the flesh. After you are born again, you become a spiritual baby and are dominated by the flesh. By the flesh. Hallelujah. So, after you are born again, you become a spiritual baby who is dominated by the flesh. Hallelujah. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses." Once we were dead in sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world. When we are not born again, we walk according to the course of the world. We walk like unbelievers. We live our lives according to the course of the world. What the world is seeking for is what we are seeking for. We go with the trends of the world. It says, according to the prince of the power of the air, which is Satan, is your ruler. It is your head. That is why you lie easily, for instance, without thinking about it. You steal. Amen. You commit adultery. You commit fornication. And you don't even know what is fornication. Do you see? You say, what is that, Reverend? Amen. He says, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh. We all did. Before we came to Christ, we all did. We all are in the world. We had this lustfulness in us. Amen. Fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. That is what we were doing. And whereby nature, and whereby nature, the children of wrath, even as others. But we have to grow. We have to grow. Because after you are born again, if you remain like that, you become a spiritual baby who is dominated by the flesh. Now, what are spiritual babies like? What are spiritual babies? Spiritual babies are just like unbelievers who are religious. I will explain. I said, spiritual babies, if you have given your life to Christ and you are a spiritual baby and you don't grow, your life is like an unbeliever who is religious. An unbeliever who is religious. So what is a religious unbeliever? You want to know who you are like. Isn't that so? We are being compared to an unbeliever who is religious. An unbeliever is someone who has not received Christ. That is an unbeliever. Someone who has not received Jesus as his savior or her savior. That is an unbeliever. So an unbeliever is someone who is not born again. So we are saying that if you are born again and you are a spiritual babe, you are like someone who is not born again. So an unbeliever is someone who does not know about Christ. He does not know about Christ. However, there are people who are religious unbelievers. They are religious unbelievers. These are people who go to church, but they are not born again. Are you listening? You go to church, but you are not born again. They sing praises. They sing hymns. When you project songs, they can sing. They never learn the song because they have hymn books that they open and they just sing it and they close it and they go home. They don't read the Bible except what they will be reading in church. They don't even own Bibles. Such people don't go to church with a Bible. Or if they go to church with one, it's just that they are showing that they came to church with one. They never open it. So an unbeliever who is a religious person is someone who he drinks alcohol, but he goes to church. You know, when he's having a party, he serves alcohol. Everyone that comes gets drunk.
You know, after church, as he's going home, he passed by the liquor store and buys his alcohol for Sunday, for his meal. That is a religious unbeliever. Are you listening? You don't know anybody like that. So, right from church, you know, he comes to sit down for his meal and he puts his whiskey down and pours it. He smokes cigarettes. That is a religious unbeliever. Why are you looking at me like that? You don't understand what I'm... You don't know anyone like that. That is a religious unbeliever. And we are saying that if you are a babe, you see, a religious unbeliever, he's married, but he has girlfriends. And he doesn't see anything wrong with that. You understand? And the wife cannot complain because I take care of you, don't I? What do you need that I don't provide? As a man, I have a right to do what as long as I can take care of you. That is the thinking of an unbeliever who is religious. An unbeliever who is religious, when he's eating, he prays over the food. He makes the sign of the cross. When he sits in his car before he drives, he prays so that no accident will happen. And he believes in the prayers. I don't know why people don't understand my message, but... So an unbeliever is someone who fulfills the desires of his flesh and his mind. He fulfills the desires of his flesh. An unbeliever who is religious will not rise up at 4 a.m. or 5 a.m. to pray. An unbeliever who is religious, it doesn't matter to him or her at all that I didn't read the Bible today. It doesn't, they don't. Am I talking to someone? Am I preaching to someone today? So he does whatever comes to his mind and follows every natural urge and feelings, natural feelings. That is what he follows. And that is exactly how spiritual babies are. They cry and complain all the time, spiritual babies. They do not restrain themselves when they have sexual urges. That is a spiritual baby, cannot restrain himself. If you see a baby, when we are here, a baby wants to wee-wee, the baby will just wee-wee. No restraint. Even the number two, the baby in front of everyone, the baby will do it. And you'll be walking around. The other day, I was talking to someone who had a baby, and then I see the baby comes and stays behind me, and then he goes down. And the next moment, I said, the baby needs to be changed. No embarrassment. You know, it feels like doing it right here. Are you listening? No restraint. No restraint. You, when you are mature, when you grow up, and you even need to wee-wee, you don't just sit here and just let it come. As bad as it gets. Is that how you behave? No. You hold it. You have control over your bladder. A baby has no control. Are you listening? Sometimes you have an edge to wee-wee. And then you restrain yourself. Control it. Hold it. Hold it. Hold it. Until you get home. And if you get home, you live in one of those apartments that has only one. And then when you get home, someone is inside there. Because you see, the moment you get home, you think you are getting there. You see, so now you are starting to ease the restraint. Has that happened to you before? Oh, yes. One day we were going home, we were driving home, and I had an urge to wee-wee.
And then I say, okay, when we get to this gas station and we are buying the gas. Then there was a little traffic. I said, this traffic, why? Why? Of all days at this time, why? But I'm with my wife and the children. I didn't ask them. I didn't tell anyone. So we get to the gas station. So I said, fill the gas. I'll be back. I ran. You know, you have a certain walk when it is that bad. Have you noticed that? Because it's part of the restraint. You know, people think that you have a new walk, but they don't know. You know, you have to do a certain walk. Because if you mess up, you'll be disgraced. Oh, it has not happened to you before. And then when I got to the inside, you are not continuing the story. Hey, someone was inside there. There. You have really determined to disgrace a pastor. And then when it happens like that, you begin to just march. You know, you have to have some action to take your mind, like looking at the things in the store, you know, if you need something, because you have to behave in a certain way to take your, or you don't understand what I'm sharing with you. Let me continue the message because I think I am just alone in this situation. You have to like look at the prices at things that you don't even need, you know, and argue about the price. Why are things now that expensive as you are doing your match, you know? And this guy taking his time, now drying his hand. I see the fan going on. I said, man, if you knew what was happening around here. And I see the guy, some big truck driver, open the door and then stepping out leisurely like that. I said, hey. But that is an adult. You have to restrain yourself. You have to restrain yourself. Amen. Is somebody understanding what I'm sharing with you? But spiritual babies, they fulfill every desire that they have. So spiritual babies pray and they go to church. They also pray, they also go to church. So in this regard, spiritual babies and religious unbelievers are very similar. Are you listening? Natural babies also follow every urge, like we are saying. They cry anywhere. If a child is amongst us, they don't care that we are preaching, very important, everyone should stay quietly and listen. They will start crying if they feel like crying. They don't care. And that is how spiritual babies behave. Hallelujah. They simply follow their urges. Amen. There are many people of whom we are not sure whether they are babies or they are not. We can't even tell whether they are spiritual babies or they are unbelievers. Hallelujah. Babies don't think of the consequences of their actions. I tell you, babies, they do not think of the consequences of their actions. They don't think that as I am doing this, it's going to go into the recording of the message. As I'm running around, as I'm knocking this down, it's going to break. They don't think of those consequences. When they urinate themselves, they don't think of the consequences. And we read in the scriptures that no one knows the day of the Lord's coming. No one knows the day of the Lord's coming. So, as you are a spiritual babe, and you continue on in the sin that you are sinning, it means that you don't think of the consequences. You don't think that the Lord's day can be today. You are not thinking of it. Are you listening to me? You are not thinking, about the fact that you don't talk to a friend. You are a Christian, born again Christian. You are in the church. You have a friend that you don't talk to. You are here. You are, as I'm preaching, you have someone in your life that you don't talk to. You do not talk to. And you are born again. And you are hoping that you go to heaven. So you see, sometimes we think that we will repent before Christ comes. Or things will be perfected before Christ comes. But you don't know the day of his coming. Are you listening? In 1 Peter chapter 3, it says he will come like a thief. That no thief announces his coming to your house. And that is how Christ is going to come. So some of us, we are born again Christians and we commit adultery. Not thinking that Christ can come in the middle of your adultery. You see, you are not thinking of the consequences. In the middle of your adultery, in the middle of fornication, Christ can come. What are you going to say? What are you going to say? You see, it sounds funny, but it's serious. Hallelujah. So you must ask yourself, am I a spiritual baby or not? Amen. Principle number 3. When you become a spiritual child, you are dominated sometimes by the flesh and sometimes by the spirit. When you become a spiritual child, you are dominated sometimes by the flesh and sometimes by the spirit. Amen. So that is what we read in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11 down to 15, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro. That is indecisive. That is a child. So after you are born again, you may grow into the spiritual childhood. When you are at the spiritual childhood stage, you are dominated here by the flesh and sometimes by the spirit. That is a child. The main difficulty with the spiritual child is instability. You are unstable when you are a spiritual child. And children, they run around a lot. Are you listening? Children run around a lot. And that, if you see a child, one characteristic or one classic sign of a child is that it's difficult for a child to sit still. And in fact, it can become a punishment. For you to say to a child, sit down, don't move. They can't do that. Is somebody listening? Spiritual children also cannot settle down. They can't settle down. When someone is a spiritual child, the person cannot settle in a church. They are here today, they are there tomorrow. They hear of a pastor here, a prophet here, and they are there. But a spiritual mature person settles. Are you listening? You say, I am here. This is where God wants me to be, and I'm planted here. And that is the only way you bring forth fruit. You will never bring forth fruit if you are the seed that is planted here and then taken to another place here and then you planted all over the place. You will never grow. A spiritual child is someone who cannot settle in a marriage. They can't settle in marriage. Are you listening? They cannot settle in marriage. They can't make a decision. Someone ought to make decisions for them. That is a spiritual child. They are unstable. And everyone needs to grow from that stage also. Hallelujah. There is no stability in the life of a spiritual child. Hallelujah. Is somebody listening? Children easily get hurt. Have you noticed that? Most of the scars that you have are from childhood. So children easily get hurt. And so are spiritual children. They easily get hurt. The preaching can hurt them.
As I'm talking about fornication, some people are hurt. As I'm talking about not talking to someone in church, you are hurt because that is you.
Do you have anyone that you don't talk to in your life? You are not in talking terms with this person because you are offended. Wow, no one in the church, by the grace of God. It's powerful.
Amen. So spiritual children are easily hurt by someone in the church. They are hurt by someone stepping on their toes. They are hurt by the preaching of the word. Hallelujah. So classic sign of a spiritual child is that you easily are offended. You are easily offended. Spiritual child easily gets offended and leave the church. For any reason. Spiritual child can get offended even by sharing of food. By sharing of food, the spiritual child, all the children, have you seen me upset about the food here in the church before? But even my birthday, they eat my cake. The cake that they bought for me, they said, this is your birthday cake. So I said, oh, that looks like a very nice cake. Wow. Wow, church. And I thank them. I thank the whole church for buying me such a nice cake. And so, after church, I will say to my wife, oh, can I have a piece of the cake that they bought for me? He said, they have eaten all of it. I said, ah, that's my cake. He said, oh, but after you cut the cake, they took it and they shared it among themselves. Sometimes someone says in the church, he says, Reverend, we cook today and I cook this for you. And then they put it somewhere. And then someone takes it home. They said, that's for Reverend. But the person is, oh, I didn't get any, so they have taken it home. So I have to call the person and say, thank you for the food, but I don't know how it tasted. But am I supposed to get upset and say, I'm not coming to church the following Sunday to preach because you ate my food? But you see, if they shared the food and they didn't give you some, you get angry. That is a classic sign of a spiritual child. Are you listening to me? And the spiritual mature person is the one also who doesn't take the food. You see, because I would rather that the people will have the food. And I won't have it. Are you listening? If that will make the people happy. But the spiritual child will keep everything. You see how children, they see the toy, that's mine. This one is mine. That's it's mine. They don't want to share. That's a spiritual child. Are you listening? So next time when they are sharing their food and you are packing everything, people come around and say, we've not gotten anything to eat. But you have extra to take home. That is a spiritual child. You are not mature. You see, that you can understand, right? But the spiritual child is unstable in the church. There are spiritual children, you see, they are even not in talking terms to the pastor. Wow, who is that? You don't talk to the pastor. You are in the church, but you are very angry with the pastor. And you don't say hello to the pastor because you are angry with the pastor for some decision that he took. So that is a spiritual child. Spiritual children are very immature. Hallelujah. Is somebody understanding what I'm sharing? Are you a spiritual child? Are you growing? Okay, the last one for the day, the last principle for the day. When you are a spiritually mature, you are dominated by the Spirit. When you are spiritually mature, you are dominated by the Spirit. Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. Am I preaching to someone?
Yes.
Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. He says, by the fruit of the Spirit. Listen to this. Remember we read the works of the flesh before. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, You see, this is the fruit of the Spirit. So when you are a young woman or a young man and you are looking for someone to marry, someone who says, I love you, is someone who must be spiritually mature. Because love is a fruit of the Spirit. Are you listening? If the person is not mature, if the person is not spiritually mature and he says, I love you, it is lust. Is someone understanding what I'm sharing with you? It is lust. And whatever is attractive to him or her, when that thing is not there, there's no love. Because love is a fruit of the Spirit. When someone says, I love you, that person must have God in him or her. Because the Bible says, love, God is love. God is love. And anyone that loveth knoweth God. If you have love, you say, I love you, then it means I know God. God is in me. Are you listening? That is why anyone who is an unbeliever that says, I love you, it's not love. Because love is God. God is love. Love is God. You don't understand? So that guy at your job who says, I love you, and is nice, buying you flowers, and lunchtime, he's buying you lunch, it's not love. You say you are going to do your nails, and he gives you $50. It's not love. That he makes comments about your hair all the time, it's not love. Are you listening? It is not love. Why? Because he does not know God. You have invited him to church constantly, next week. He has no God in him. That is not love. He says the fruit of the Spirit is love. Joy. True joy, it comes from the Spirit. Peace. You want peace in your life? Develop spiritual maturity. Peace. Long suffering. I don't know why I'm pointing here a lot, but let me turn to this place. Maybe I should hold my microphone with this hand and point here too. But long suffering, suffer long. You just get married and small difficulty, you are going back to your mother's home. Small difficulty, you are moving out. Long suffering is a spiritual maturity. Long suffering is a spiritual maturity. Gentleness is a spiritual maturity. The Holy Spirit is a gentle spirit. When it's in you, you'll be a gentle person. Gentleness. Goodness. To do good is a spiritual maturity. It's a sign of spiritual maturity. When it's in you, you yearn to do good. Hallelujah. Faith. It's a spiritual maturity. You will increase in faith. Meekness. When you are meek, when you are humble, it's a spiritual maturity. Meekness. You are humble. One classic sign of someone who has no God in him is pride. That's a classic sign. If you see anyone filled with pride, you can bet all your life on that the person is not a Christian. The person has no God in him. Because pride is a very satanic characteristic. The Bible says that God resists the proud. If you are a proud person, God resists you. You can't come near God. So anyone who is filled with pride has no God. Here too. Amen. When I point here, you have to point to them too. And point to them. This is temperance. Temperance. Hallelujah. Ability to control. Ability to control. You see, even the ability to control what you buy is temperance. You don't have any control. You know, when you go on the internet anything that comes there you want, you buy. You know, it's a classic sign that you are not spiritually mature. You buy clothes and buy and buy and buy. It's a sign that you have no spiritual control. You have no temperance. The ability to say, I see this, it's nice, but I'm not buying. It's a spiritual maturity. Some people don't even have money, but they buy on credit. One day I'll teach you about credit cards. Are you listening? And it's all about the fleshly desire, the desire of the flesh to want that you impress. Amen. Your closet is overflowing. Your closet is overflowing. There are times you don't even know that you have certain things in your closet. You don't know. Your shoes. Temperance. Even the food that you eat, you don't have temperance. You don't have control about the food you eat. Wow, our time is gone. He says, against such there is no law. When you have these things under the control, you see that there's no, as if you don't live under the law. Amen. And they that are Christ, or they that belong to Christ, are you listening? They have crucified the flesh. They have killed the flesh, its affection and lust. They have crucified it. They have killed it. They have nailed it to the cross. The desires, the lust of the flesh, they have nailed it to the cross. When you come to that stage, it's a sign of spiritual maturity. Are you listening? Yes, they are passing it around. Whereas you were in the world before. You know, in the past, you go to a place and they're passing drinks around, you know, and everyone takes Guinness, Heineken, or Corona. What are some of the other ones? Vodka. Budweiser. What else? Guinness. And they take in past, you see, when they pass by, you also will take your preference, right? But now, with spiritual maturity, they are passing by, and you look and you say, can I have Coke? Oh, somebody says minerals. I will take minerals. Amen. Someone says, do you have minerals? They say, what are minerals? But you see, but now you, when they are passing by, you are born again. And then you look at the church people here. You see, and no church member is here. Then you take one Guinness. And then you wrap it with a napkin. Big one. You say, can I have a big napkin? And then you wrap it. And then the thing freezes the napkin, and then he's showing through the napkin. He says, can I have another napkin? You think I don't know? Because now they can see Guinness through the napkins. It has made a print through the napkin. He said, can I have another napkin? They say they have no more napkins. You drink that thing quick. And here, take your bottle. But the spiritual mature person, he says, let it go. Pass by. Because now your flesh is suppressed. The flesh wants it, but you say you are not having it. Hallelujah. So after you are born again, you may grow into a spiritual maturity stage, which is dominated by the Spirit, resulting in the fruit of the Spirit. As we just said, you nail the lust of the flesh. You nail the desires of the flesh. Hallelujah. When you are spiritually mature, you are dominated by the Spirit and not by the flesh anymore. The Spirit dominates. Hallelujah. You see, it's like a husband and a wife.
If you are a husband and you don't have strong character, your wife will dominate you. You see, someone has to dominate. And it's the same thing with the flesh and the spirit. Someone has to dominate. But decide that the spirit man will dominate. Hallelujah. As a Christian, let the spirit man dominate. You make the decision. You say, we are praying. The spirit says, we are sleeping. You say, no, we are praying. And you rise up. Look, everything that the spirit wants to do is the opposite of what the flesh wants to do. That is a test of how spiritual you are. The test of how spiritual you are is how you are able to suppress the desires. It tells you that you are very spiritual. It tells you that you are very spiritual. You can't rise up to pray. The flesh doesn't like fasting. Have you fasted before? Yeah. The flesh doesn't like fasting. So we do these exercises to take control of the flesh. That we are proving to ourselves that I have control over the flesh. No one is there, but I'm fasting. But there are many people, many Christians, when we declare fasting, you call them at 2 p.m. and there's food in their mouths. They can't control the flesh. These exercises help us. When we are having root rally, it is a sign of spirituality that you can come and do nothing but praying. It's a spiritual, mature people that can do that. When you are not spiritual, you can't do that. You'll be angry. You'll be angry with the people who organize this thing. You say, what are these things? Why? It's as if we have nothing else to do. Do you see? Because if you come there, you think that people have nothing to do. Everyone has this thing in. Everybody is quiet. And you are not talking to each other for about an hour or two. Why? We are suppressing the desires of the flesh, the lust of the flesh. Hallelujah. So intentionally, we make it. We are starting at 5 a.m. We are starting at 5 a.m. Some people have to wake up 3 a.m. to be able to make it at 5 a.m. You have to be spiritually mature to see that these things are of even value to do them. Say amen. Amen. So mature Christians have more joy, love, peace, and patience. Mature Christians are more gentle and full of goodness. Hallelujah. When you come close to a mature Christian, you see meekness and humility. Immature Christians are full of pride and overconfidence. Immature Christians can be educated. And don't be deceived by that they are educated. Hallelujah. So, one of the things that we do more to increase the spirit in us, we speak in tongues. We speak in tongues. But when you are a spiritual, immature person, you speak in tongues a little bit, you are tired. The body says, enough. Why are you doing this? You would rather take a walk to no place than to do that. Desire to grow spiritually. Desire to grow. Listen, I want to leave you with this. There is no one that is exempted. Are you listening? All Christians, that we come to the measure of Christ. It is expected of all of us to grow spiritually. It is not left for pastors alone to grow. It is not left for people who are interested in ministry. It is not left for people who desire to be pastors. It is expected of all Christians. It is expected of every Christian that you grow spiritually. So you have to assess yourself. To sleep in church is a spiritual babe. That you are in the house of God, you are hearing the word of God, and you are sleeping is a spiritual babe. And we have to grow. We have to grow. To say that it is raining and you are not going to church is a spiritual babe. It is a spiritual babe. And God expects that we all grow. We all grow and mature
to take a measure of the nature of Christ. Hallelujah. It's not meant for some special people who have special interest in ministry. The Bible says that for the time that ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that men teach you again the same basic principles, the same thing about repentance, forgiveness. I mean, there are Christians, born again Christians in the church, they don't have forgiveness. They don't talk to someone. And the Bible says, he's expecting that you will now come and stand here and teach about forgiveness. Our time is up. We will continue next time we meet. Rise your feet, please. And let us bring the service to a close. Father, we are grateful and thankful. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for your spirit. We thank you for the change, the renewal of our minds, the desire to grow and to become more and more like you. We give you glory. We give you honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, with all eyes closed and every head bowed, you are here this afternoon. You are not born again. You have not given your life to Christ. You are saying, Pastor, pray with me. Perhaps you go to church, but deep in you, you know that you are not born again. You have not given your life to Jesus. You have not accepted Jesus as your Savior. I am ready to pray with you. I can help you give your life to Christ by saying a simple prayer. So if you are like that, you want to receive Jesus as your Savior, just lift up your right hand and I'll pray with you. Lift up your right hand and I'll pray with you. Is there anyone here like that? You want to receive Jesus as your Savior? Anyone here like that? Perhaps you have been in church many, many years, but truly, you are not born again. The Bible says that the day of his coming is like a thief. He will come when we do not expect. Is there anyone here like that? Father, we are grateful and thankful for the gift of salvation in Jesus' name. Amen. Wonderful. Well, this brings us to the end of our service. Why don't you take your seats, please?
We believe you have been blessed by this powerful message. Come worship with us at the Lycos International Church, 1810 Randall Avenue, Bronx, New York, at 2 p.m. every Sunday. God bless you.